Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, once again, it's time to have the Ocean State Theater production that is coming in next, which is going to be Born Yesterday. Amy Turner is here. Welcome back, Amy.
Thank you. Nice to be here, as always.
Nice to have you back with us, talking about the newest production coming in after a very successful fall season. Getting into the new year, White Christmas was pretty spectacular.
It was a wonderful show, very proud of it, and became our highest single ticket selling show that we've done in Warwick. So that's very exciting. Record breaking.
Wow. Highest record breaking show, and probably because of starring Joel Kipper, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Quite certain.
So was there problems with women lined up in the lobby asking for autographs and stuff like that?
Every night? Absolutely.
Okay, well, all right. And then before that, there were other productions that were also very successful. So a great season so far. And some individual things that have been going on, some one-nighters, as they say, that we'll talk about a little bit later. But let's get to Born Yesterday, and you brought a guest with you. Playing the part of Billy Dawn in Born Yesterday is Laura Hayhurst. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Nice to have you with us, and we're going to find out a little bit about you. First off, where do you come from? Are you from New York, Rhode Island, California?
Sure. All of the above, kind of. Not really. I hail from the great town of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's too bad.
This Sunday we are in a long tech rehearsal, and I'm a little nervous about it. It's going to be the Steelers fan and the Pats fan hanging out.
As we're speaking right at this moment, the game is going
that's
on.
That's right. It's happening right now.
Right now. So it's either you or me.
Better hurry up.
I know. But yes, I am originally from Pittsburgh, and I moved to New York City for college. I went to Pace University in Manhattan, and then I just kind of stayed. So I do kind of call New York home now. I've been there. I think the rule is over 10 years, you're officially a New Yorker, and I've been there about 14. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And tell us about some of your experience when you went to Pace University. Did you get into theater right away? Was it a...
Yes, I went to Pace with the intention of pursuing a musical theater degree, which I did. And along the way, I picked up a pretty useless minor, which I was still pretty excited about. I minored in American literature, specializing in literature of the 1920s. So Fitzgerald and Hemingway and all of that stuff.
That's
so
cool.
I love to tout the fact that I have the two most useless degrees.
Well, I don't know about that.
And she hasn't stopped working.
And tell us a little bit about your professional background. What have you been doing?
Sure. I went on a few national tours shortly after college finished, and they were wonderful. I think that's a great way to see the country and, you know, really get your legs as a performer. And then I've been working regionally pretty much ever since. I love to go to different theaters, whoever will have me, and... in New York, I've done a few off-Broadway things that are very small, and I moonlight. My day job is that of an animal handler, a theatrical animal handler, and that has actually taken me to Broadway. I've done a few Broadway shows in that capacity.
Well, there you go.
So, whatever gets you there.
An animal handler. Theatrical animal handler.
Yes, indeed.
And Amy, we've had a couple of those in shows.
We have, indeed.
Someone you know very, very
yes,
well.
Yes, typically my daughter is our animal handler.
That's right.
But did that start from doing Legally Blonde?
Mm-hmm, it sure did, yeah. I've done Legally Blonde quite a few times. And
of course, there's two amazing dogs in Legally Blonde.
And I had to work with the dogs during one production, and I kind of fell in love with the trainer's philosophy and the fact that they were all rescue animals. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this would be better than waiting tables, because at least I'm in a theater and still immersed in what I love to be doing. And it's dogs. Who doesn't like playing with puppies all
there
day?
There you go. So. Now, there are no canines in this production. I was going to say there are no dogs.
I'm trying to get one in. But,
that could be interpreted that way, that there may be a dog in this.
For sure.
Yeah, okay. Let's Amy, get a little bit of background about the show before we hear our first piece of music.
Sure. Well, it was Born Yesterday was written by Garson Kanin in 1946, and I have decided that I am going to make sure in every curtain speech that the audience knows that we have not changed a single word of this play. Not
really?
One word.
Nothing updated, nothing.
No. Mm-hmm. And I am going to tell you that having picked it and loved the show for years, working on it over these past couple of weeks, is jaw-dropping the dialogue that is happening politically about what we're talking about right now. So it's I'm saying it's never been more relevant. It's really talking about so many of the topics that are sort of these buzzwords right now: wealth inequality and fascism and what is democracy and money in politics and all of these things. But I think the brilliance of this play is that every character is so well thought out that there's not really an overt political agenda in this. It's really just a telling of a story of a man who comes to influence Congress through his financial means. And he brings along his girlfriend, who he plucked from the chorus. And, you know, they've been together 10 years. This is a, you know, an ongoing relationship. It's not, you know, just some fly by the seat of your pants kind of a thing. And he realizes that she's never really been out of the chorus, so to speak. She's never been out of New York. And so he hires a journalist to, as he says, make her wise to a few things, you know. And so she starts studying about the government, about the Constitution, the Supreme Court, and understanding interactions of mankind historically throughout history. And in the end, gains a different perspective on her boyfriend, on her relationship. And there's a little bit of a whodunit wrapped in here in the sense that there's a real twist at the end that is kind of brilliant, and it's you know, a little knowledge can go a long way. But I have to say, like, I'm just so excited that this is such a relevant play right now. And no matter what you think, I think most of us anyway agree we should be talking about it. What kind of a country do we want?
Right.
That's
right.
A valid question for anyone. So it's super exciting. And it's funny.
And it's funny.
It's the most joyous, like, easy to watch, you know, you're going to be laughing, character-driven plays. So even if you don't really care about politics, still come and laugh.
There you go. Now, you mentioned the word play. It is not a musical. So the music that we have today is not going to be heard on that day.
It is not. No, none of this music will be.
We're just going to give the audience a little flavor.
Yeah. Okay. So what we did this time is we I asked Bob Miller to help me, and we picked songs from Broadway that interject humor and politics.
Okay.
And the first song is Politics and Poker from Fiorello.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to
do? I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a king.
Ready? Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets!
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes!
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, How about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, better.
Politics and polka, politics and polka, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play,
not to bet,
when to call the bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
Stop stalling.
I'll stay.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run Al Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average guy.
Amy, I know a lot of people are going to be turning us off in a little while and watching the football game and watching the Patriots beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. No, I hate to predict that. I don't want to go there. But at any rate, they should immediately go and get tickets because it opens Wednesday night for previews, right?
That's right.
Wednesday and Thursday for previews, and then the official opening Friday night. So it's right around the corner. If they'd like to get tickets, they can go to your website.
Absolutely. OceanStateTheater.org. And they could stop by the box office, 1245 Jefferson Boulevard, right in Warwick, between the airport and the mall there. And or they can give us a call any day after noon, 401-921-6800. And we would love to chat with them. And don't forget about Sunday.
That's
this
right.
is going to be a great talk back.
A week from today, I'll be at the theater and watching once again, because I'll be there Friday night for opening night, but then I'll go again on Sunday and watch with a little bit different look to get some questions in my head, because I have the opportunity to meet the wonderful cast, introduce them to the audience for the talk back, and then you and the audience can ask questions, so something you always wanted to know. So, Laura, you should have to be prepared. They're going to ask all kinds of personal questions.
Oh, I can't wait. I'll gird my loins.
All right. Tell us a little bit about the character Billy.
Sure. Billy is, I always say she's dumb like a fox, and she's one of the original dumb blonde archetypes, you know, before Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors and before Lena Lamott in Singing in the Rain. You know, it's this stock character who in the end turns out to be not at all what you expected. And being able to play a role like that has been such a gift. You know, it's rare that you get to play these heightened people who actually go on this marvelous journey, and you learn things about this character and about yourself that are just really exciting. And it's been a wonderful way for me to sort of add my voice to what is going on in the world today, like Amy mentioned. And it's been a real gift to do this at this particular moment in time and in my life. It's great.
Timing is great.
It
Couldn't
is.
Be better. And that's because of the genius of Amy.
Of course.
She predicted this a year ago.
She's a savant. Yeah.
Well, make no mistake. It was picked because it's funny and it's January and we would have just had the election and the inauguration and all of that. But, you know, certainly I think it is more prescient than any of us could have predicted. But it's so much fun. Like, I don't want people to think anything other than they're going to come and they're going to smile. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a few moments where they're going to be really thought-provoked. They're going to laugh, and then they're going to cheer on this character as she comes into her own, so to speak. It's a fun, uplifting, thought-provoking, joyful show. It just really is.
There you go. All right. Let's get one more piece of music in before we take our first break.
Well, this goes back to my lovely Broadway days, the Will Rogers Follies. This is called people know it as the campaign number, but it's actually called My Favorite Son.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Conducting Conversations and the Ocean State Theater.
Mr. Rogers, have you ever thought about running for President of the United States?
Well, I'll tell you, this country might be used to having anything at all named as a presidential candidate, but we haven't quite sunk to the professional actor stage. That's what I said in 1928, folks.
Mr. Rogers, you've been invited to speak at the Republican Convention in Kansas City, and you've also been invited to speak at the Democratic Convention in Houston.
Oh boy, the Democrats. They always have more fun at their conventions because they know they aren't going anywhere afterwards.
So, will you run for president or not, Mr. Rogers?
I sure will. Democrats and Republicans, I'm asking for your vote. Well, I've got this debunked party with some new ideas to float. Don't ask me what my platform is, I leave that stuff alone. Cause no one keeps those promises, as history has shown. I'll run a clean campaign and that will be my winning card. Considering the kind you've had, well, that won't be too hard.
Mr. Chairman, the great Sooner State of
Paper!
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we are sitting with Laura Hayhurst and Amy Turner, who are both involved with Born Yesterday. Amy will be directing at Ocean State Theater, and Laura will be playing the part of Billy Dawn. And Laura, you and Amy have worked together in the past, right?
We have, yes. I became a big Amy fan a couple years ago, maybe more than a couple now. We did a show called Das Barbecue at the Herb Strauss Theater in Florida, in Sanibel Island, Florida, which was not a terrible way to spend January and February.
Yeah, I guess not. If you got to be somewhere, you might as well be there.
Yeah, and Das Barbecue is a five-person country western musical retelling of Wagner's The Ring Cycle.
I'm writing all this down.
Yep, take that in. That is a lot. So there's five of us, three women and two men, and we each play, oh God, between 5 and 20 roles, you know, that everyone's playing a lot of different characters. And it's essentially the Ring Cycle story, but set to really bizarre country western music. And it's a mile a minute and, you know, farcical and hysterical. And thank God we had Amy, because it was a lot to plod through in 2 weeks. But we did it, and it was great.
And I got to say, I became a Laura fan too, because all five of the actors, I mean, it's one of those plays you have to jump in, and the characters are such archetypes. And like, you take this amazing story that all of us are familiar with in one way, shape, or form, even if we don't know like the totality of it. And then the playwright said, well, where else do myths exist? Well, in the plains of Texas is where myths still exist. You know, where can you have giants and dwarves and sirens and, you know, gold rings? And, you know, where else could you have a story like this? So he plopped it right down in the middle of the plains of Texas and brought in these crazy characters. And that's how I know she's got comic chops.
Well, there you go. There you go. Right. Well, let's talk about other people involved in this production of Born Yesterday. Cast of how many, Amy?
I think there's nine of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot for a play.
Normally, it is. There's because this businessman, this junk man, this vulgar, that's I think how he's described in the play, as a vulgar businessman.
Would he be considered the main character or two main characters?
Mm-hmm. Harry Brock. He's I would say yes, absolutely. And that's played by Robert Iardi, who was also our Coach Lombardi. And for folks that go back to our Theater by the Sea days, he was also in God of Carnage. He plays this big, blustering junk man, you know, who comes to conquer Washington, basically, brings his girlfriend, Billy Dawn. And the journalist is Michael Jennings Mahoney. It's Michael's first time with us. He's a Brown Trinity Consortium graduate. He's performed in Christmas Carol, among other things, and has a pretty extensive regional theater resume. But so it's his debut with us. And then I would say sort of the fourth lead is Sean McGurk, who is local to Rhode Island, a fantastic guy. He plays the attorney, so he's kind of the one making the deal happen. He used to be an assistant attorney general for the whole United States,
the whole
as
United
Billy
States.
Says, and now works for Harry. And Sean McGurk was in your favorite play.
Right.
He played the businessman in David Mamet's Race that we did in our first season.
Right.
So I gotta say, it's a pretty stellar cast, and a mix of some other amazingly, wonderfully great people playing, you know, some supporting roles in the hotel staff and things like that. But yeah, it's cool.
All right, well, let's get to another piece of music and give us some flavor of what's next. It's called The Egg.
Oh, sure. That's from 1776.
I knew that.
Yes, many of your listeners will remember.
It's a masterpiece, I say. They will cheer every word, every letter.
I wish I felt that way. I believe I can put it better. Now then, attend, as friend to friend, our declaration committee. For us I see immortality in Philadelphia City. A farmer, a lawyer, and a sage, a bit gouty in the leg. You know it's quite bizarre, to think that here we are, plain midwives to an egg.
Egg? What egg?
America, the birth of a new nation.
We're waiting for the chirp, chirp, chirp of an eaglet being born. Waiting for the chirp, chirp, chirp on this humid Monday morning in this congressional incubator.
God knows the temperature's hot enough to hatch a stone, let alone an egg.
We're waiting for the scratch, scratch, scratch of that tiny little fellow. Waiting for the egg to hatch on this humid Monday morning in this congressional incubator.
God knows the temperature's hot enough to hatch a stone, but will it hatch an egg?
The eagle's going to crack the shell of the egg that England laid.
Yes, sir, we can tell, tell, tell on this humid Monday morning in this congressional incubator. And just as Tom here has written, though the shell may belong to Great Britain, the eagle inside belongs to us.
And just as Tom here has written, we say to hell with Great Britain, the eagle inside belongs to us.
This all takes place in the 1940s, and I would think that a blonde bombshell for is that a good Broadway term?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Of which you are going to portray, would be dressed up with, I would think, things that are tight skirts, high heels.
Correct. Yes. One of my lines that I say quite a few times, so we know it's important, is that I have two mink coats.
Two mink coats.
Two. It's very important that there's two.
Okay.
And Erin is fair, as Amy told me. So yes, she is very decked out. She knows how to dress. Mm-hmm. It's that gorgeous mid-40s, you know, fashion where you wore hats and gloves and everything was coordinated and everything was very tastefully curated and a little opulent because the war was over and we had access to fabrics and jewels and all of these things now.
Mm-hmm. And Harry even says, do you know what I spend a year dressing her? And, you know, so there's some gorgeous, you know, there's really no expense spared, or that's how it should appear, certainly.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's beautiful. And that kind of extends into the whole design, you know. This production takes place in a beautiful, opulent, gigantic suite of what we assume is the most tasteful, wonderful hotel in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So it's this beautifully appointed hotel room. Again, no expense spared. Everything's classy. Everything's perfect. Everything is arranged just so.
That sounds like one that just opened. Oh, no, we won't go there.
I'm saying there's a lot of parallels.
So many parallels. Yeah, but it's such a treat to go back to that time and just really let yourself revel in the tastefulness and the classy opulence that was that time period.
All right. Well, that's great. And you know, putting all that together, Amy, as director, that's all part of what you do, right? You have to kind of guide those costumes and the sets and the
coordinating that, the taste level and the look and the feel
and
of
the look
it, absolutely.
You're looking for.
Yeah.
And including the sets and the things that are, you know, the props and everything else, right?
That's right, yeah. And so it starts with a conversation with Ken Martin, who is actually going to serve as both our set designer and our lighting designer. But for the third year in a row, we have this amazing opportunity to have Ethan Allen as our partner in design. So all of the furnishings and furniture that you will see on stage is being provided on loan from Ethan Allen. And so coordinating that element into it was necessary as well, but very exciting. It's about $30,000 worth of furniture on this stage. And not that anybody's counting. astounding. And if people remember, we did utilize the partnership for It's a Wonderful Life, but I think most of your listeners and our patrons would remember Dial M for Murder, which was also furnished by Ethan Allen.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It just, I'm so excited, and we're just getting that furniture moved in the process, because of course the last thing you want to do is put in this expensive furniture.
And then have somebody wreck it.
It's just so beautiful. And this time, everything's very shiny. There's lots of shiny things.
Very, very sparkly.
We love shiny.
Very, very sparkly and shiny. All right, let's get to another piece of music before we take our next break. And this one's from a very, very popular Broadway show.
That's right.
Hamilton.
Maybe the most popular.
I would think so. We'll listen to One Last Time, and then we'll be back with more of the Ocean State Theater.
Mr. President, you asked to see me. I know you're busy. What do you need, sir? Sir, I want to give you a word of warning. Sir, I don't know what you heard, but whatever it is, Jefferson started it. Thomas Jefferson resigned this morning. You're kidding. I need a favor. Whatever you say, sir, Jefferson will pay for this behavior. Talk less. I'll use the press. I'll write under a pseudonym. You'll see what I can do to him. I need you to draft an address. Yes, he resigned. You can finally speak your mind. No. He's stepping down so he can run for president. Good luck defeating you, sir. I'm stepping down. I'm not running for president. I'm sorry, what? One last time. Relax, have a drink with me. One last time. Let's take a break tonight, and then we'll teach him how to say goodbye. To say goodbye, you and I. To talk about neutrality.
Sir, with Britain and France on the verge of war, is this the best
time? I want
time?
To warn against partisan fighting. What? Pick up a pen, start writing. I want to talk about what I have learned, the hard-won wisdom I have earned.
As far as the people are concerned, you have to serve. You could continue to serve.
No. One last time, the people will hear from me. One last time. And if we get this right, we're gonna teach them how to say goodbye. You and I.
Mr. President, they will say you're weak.
No, they will see we're strong.
Your position is so unique.
So I'll use it to move them along.
Why do you have to say goodbye?
If I say goodbye, the nation learns to move on. It outlives me when I'm gone. Like the scripture says, everyone shall sit under their own vine and fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. They'll be safe in the nation we've made. I want to sit under my own vine and fig tree, a moment alone in the shade, at home in this nation we made. One last time,
one last time. Though in reviewing the incidents of my administration, I am unconscious of intentional error, I am nevertheless too sensible of my defects not to think it probable that I may have committed many errors. I shall also carry with me the hope that my country will view them with indulgence, and that after 45 years of my life dedicated to its service with an upright zeal, the faults of incompetent abilities will be consigned to oblivion, as I myself will soon be to the mansions of rest. I anticipate with pleasing expectation that retreat, in which I promise myself to realize the sweet enjoyment of partaking in the midst of my fellow citizens, the benign influence of good laws under a free government, the ever favorite object of my heart, and the happy reward, as I trust, of our mutual care, labors and dangers. One last time.
George Washington's going home.
I'll teach teach him how to say goodbye.
George Washington's
going home.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Amy Turner from the Ocean State Theater and Laura Hayhurst. And Laura, we're gonna take just a minute to talk about other things.
Please.
Other than your production that's coming up next week. Amy, I just want to recap for our audience that so many things happen at the theater, starting with the Cabaret Club, which is running pretty constantly.
Yeah, so that has turned into a year-long event of programming. We have 12 of them now scheduled in a year, so once a month on the second Tuesday. And we transform the lobby into a really beautiful, intimate cabaret setting. The tickets are $15. You get your first drink for free. Of course, there's free parking. There's a headliner in Act 1 and then an open mic night in Act 2, and it's become very popular. Many of them have been selling out. I would say the majority of them have been selling out. So it's,
I gotta go because
it's just so much fun.
I went to Boston to see something a couple weeks ago and it was $60 just to park.
I know. It's such a great, it's such a good deal. It's amazing. And people are really taking advantage. Of course, the bar is open. You know, you can have another drink. There's snacks.
Right.
But it's really intimate and we turn the lights down and it's pretty cool.
Cool. And then Family Fun Fest is another exciting
event. So this is the for little kids.
That's going to be February 4th, right?
Yep. And that's Sing Away Hunger. And that is our partnership with the Rhode Island Food Bank. So this is the first time we've done this. It's a fundraising event. It's going to be a great show. We actually have two performances scheduled. But again, pretty much on a monthly basis, we have our Family Fun Fest. So introduce somebody young in your life, your neighbor or your niece or your nephew or your grandchild or your children. Introduce them to theater. Send them a ticket. All the tickets are $10. It's all about an hour long. It's just so much fun. It's exciting to see these kids' eyes light up as they watch what's going on
stage. And then right after that, Valentine's Day special event.
That's right. Our cabaret club is actually on Valentine's Day, so that's pretty cool. We have a really busy week that week. Danny Sullivan, some people will know. He's been back and forth on both coasts, actually, for that headline.
And the other thing you can do is get tickets in advance and give them to someone for Valentine's Day. And then on the 18th, that following weekend, and they can go and see Twice in Love with Amy.
Sure. So last year I was talked into doing a concert, Once in Love with Amy, and we explored like the arc of love, heartbreak and puppy love and everlasting and all of that. And so they talked me into doing it again. So it'll be a different concert this year, Twice in Love with Amy, and been focusing a lot more on the like passion, love and passion and the music that it celebrates. There's going to be a lot more contemporary music and Broadway show tunes and still some classics though.
And right after that, we go to Broadway Spotlight on March 6th.
Yeah. So for folks that came to our first Broadway Spotlight, I want to make sure they know that these are five new Broadway artists, and some of them are coming on their day off on Monday. There's actually Rhode Island's own Richard Blake, who's actually done more Broadway shows than truly almost anyone in the history. Tons of four other artists: Glinda from Wicked, Lorenzo from A Bronx Tale, Mufasa from The Lion King, Mamma Mia, Jersey Boys. Like these are the real deal folks singing.
So it is a big deal. And then a pirate school. Tell me about that.
That's a continuation of our Family Fun Fest. That's really, truly going to be great for all ages.
All right.
It's actually a one-man show, and the guy comes in and it's singing and dancing and comedy and fun and interaction with the audience and thinking he's going to teach us how to be pirates.
There you go. All right. So the point is, I guess, that there's always something going on. There's a gazillion things going on. So go to the website, oceanstatetheater.org, and check it all out. Get tickets. Support the theater. And then right after Born Yesterday, next musical in.
Little Women. It's Little a musical Women. Adaptation. So gorgeous.
I believe Maureen McGovern was in Little Women.
She was the original Marmee, both right. on Broadway and on the tour.
That was a little segue into something we'll tell you about maybe next month. So that's a secret. Okay, remind us to tell you about Maureen McGovern.
Perfect.
She might be coming to Rhode Island.
Ooh, there you go. So excited.
All right, let's get back to Born Yesterday. And, Laura, do you ever have any problems with people saying to you when you play a role like this that anything about, in today's conversation, about it being kind of a sexist thing or,
I think if you take the time to understand the journey and once you see the last few scenes of the play, you realize that this is actually the opposite of that. It's a story about a woman really finding her legs and asserting herself, and it's a really wonderful thing. You know, of course, the famous film star Judy Holliday, who's always been a comedy icon of mine, and, you know, what I love about her performance, not only does she assert that she's a strong woman in a time when, you know, a lot of women on stage and screen were a little more meek and happy to play the ingenue and happy to take a step back and let the men shine. She was a woman who wasn't afraid to be weird and bizarre and wacky and funny and really tell an important story.
And bold,
so
right.
and bold. So, you know, right. I hope she's looking down and guiding me as I do the same. But if you can do it in a great dress and heels too, then that's all the better.
That's the great part. All right, let's go to a piece of music called First Lady and tell me about that.
So this is from a little-known, I would think, musical called Mr. President, but it is an Irving Berlin song. So, you know what
can't
you're getting. You can't go
Irving
wrong
Berlin
with Irving
song.
Berlin.
I shouldn't be complaining. I've got the same address as Eleanor and Mamie, as Jacqueline and Bess. My life is filled with glamour. I really think it's swell. Oh, yes, I think it's wonderful. But then it's also a hell being first lady of the land. The first lady of the land. Standing on the receiving line, winding up with an aching spine, calluses on my receiving hand. As the first lady of the land. For every week a different hairdo, which means another dress. Those meetings with committees and sparring with the press. Those dreary formal dinners when I stay up till dawn, counting the silver when the guests have gone. When they march out in single file, and I must smile, smile, smile. I'd rather be the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth or the sixth or the seventh instead of the first lady of the land. I'm the first lady of the land. The first lady of the land. Entertaining at lunch or tea, do-do-gooders who call on me, telling of the noble deeds they've planned for the first lady of the land. And oh, the presents that they send me, an awful lot of junk, an unhousebroken poodle, a dehydrated skunk, a turkey for Thanksgiving, potatoes in a sack. But when they send a diamond, I must send it back. When the whole cabinet arrives and bring their wives, wives, wives. I'd rather be the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth or the sixth or the seventh instead of the first lady of the land. I'm the first lady of the land. A large staff at my command. cooks and maids with their ears all bent, hearing gossip that they invent, writing books that really should be banned. I'm the first lady of the land. I run the White House on a budget, and often I'm in Dutch, and Congress starts to holler, she's spending much too much. The caviar and vodka I always get for free. It's given to me by the Russian embassy. We send fresh fruit to every land, but mine is canned, canned, canned. I'd rather be the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth or the sixth or the seventh instead of the first lady of the land.
Well, as usual, time flies by when we're with Amy and talking about things happening at the Ocean State Theater. So it's almost time to go. Laura, I want to thank you for coming in. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Likewise. This has been wonderful.
And welcome to Rhode Island. I hope your stay is wonderful. The show is going to open for previews on Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday night, the big opening, and it runs through February 12th. So make sure you come and laugh and have a good time, right,
exactly.
Amy? It's what it's all about.
That's right. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want to laugh at politics right now?
Well, there you go. All right. So you can go to oceanstatetheater.org in order to get tickets, or you can call the box office.
Absolutely. Any day afternoon, 401-921-6800.
And if you're lucky, if you say to them, look, I listen to Conducting Conversations and I want the special tickets where Laura comes and greets me personally after the show.
Oh, you got it. Maybe I'll even wear one of my mink coats.
All right.
Yeah, and then we'll send them home with an Ethan Allen sofa.
Hey. Okay, maybe not. All right. Well, we have one more piece of music to leave us in the right mood. This is called Little Tin Box.
And hopefully it will leave everybody in the right mood, because this is really about money and politics. And I hope your audience enjoys it. It's also from Fiorello.
Thanks, Amy. We'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations.
Your witness.
Mr. X, may we ask you a question? It's amazing, is it not, that the city pays you slightly less than $50 a week, yet you've purchased a private yacht?
I am positive your honor must be joking. Any working man can do what I have done. For a month or two, I simply gave up smoking, and I put my extra pennies one by one into a little tin box. A little tin box that a little tin key unlocks. There is nothing unorthodox about a little tin box.
About a little tin
about
box.
About a little tin box.
In a little tin box. A little tin box that a little tin key unlocks.
There is honor and purity.
Lots of security.
In a little tin box.
Next witness.
Mr. Y, we've been told you don't feel well, and we know you've lost your voice. But we wonder how you managed on the salary you make to acquire a new Rolls Royce.
You're implying I'm a crook, and I say no, sir. There is nothing in my past I care to hide. I've been taking empty bottles to the grocer, and each nickel that I got was put aside.
That he got was put aside.
Into a little tin box. A little tin box that a little tin key unlocks. There is nothing unorthodox about a little tin box.
About a little tin
about
box.
A little tin box.
In a little tin box, a little tin box, there's a cushion for life's rude shocks.
There is faith, hope, and charity.
Hard-won prosperity.
In a little tin box.
Next witness, take the stand.
Mr. Z, you're a junior official, and your income's rather low. Yet you've kept a dozen women in the very best hotels. Would you kindly explain how so?
I can see your honor doesn't pull his punches.
And it looks a trifle fishy, I'll admit. But for one whole week I went without my lunches, and it mounted up, Your Honor, bit by bit.
Up, Your Honor, bit by bit.
It's just a little tin box,
a little tin box that a little tin key unlocks. There is nothing unorthodox about a little tin box.
About a little tin box.
About a little tin box.
It's a little tin box, a little tin box, all a glitter with blue chip stocks.
There is something delectable,
almost respectable,
in a little tin box, in a little tin box.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.